This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Migrant workers make up about a third of China's vast workforce, and coronavirus has put them in an especially tough position. These are Chinese nationals, lower middle class to working poor, who live tenuously in the cities, but whose official home base may be far, far away. The Economist magazine's Beijing bureau chief David Rennie has been reporting on this. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Tell me if this is an analogy to help our listeners here understand what this idea is of migrant workers. I met a guy from the sticks in central Maine who drove to work as a dock worker at the port of Newark, New Jersey, 400 miles each way. He would work for 2 weeks and then a week off back home. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
It is, although it's in some ways even more extreme. So there's about 170 million Chinese who work a long way from home. Some of them, many of them, will spend kind of 11 months away. And they might go back typically for Chinese New Year, which is the very beginning of the year. And they might go home for a couple of weeks. The thing that's happened this year that makes this year so strange is that they got home and then the virus kicked in. And so people who were expecting to be home for 10 days or a couple of weeks, some of them are still there almost 2 months later.
Now, some can't get back because they might work in a factory that's inside a quarantine area.
That's right. I went to the province of Sichuan a couple of weeks ago to do a column on this for The Economist and spoke to a woman who every morning has to get and check her smartphone because she cleans in an office block in Beijing. And here in Beijing, a lot of office blocks are still half closed or completely closed. It's all those kind of service sector jobs, those factory jobs, as you say. And then in some cases, if they do go back to that coastal town with a factory and they go back into that rented room that they share with maybe three other migrant workers, they're going to have to do a couple of weeks of quarantine where they can't leave that shared room and they won't be paid for that 2 weeks. So they've got really tough economic decisions as well as sort of safety and health decisions to make right now.
So to get back to work, you might have to endure a quarantine period, but you're not going to get paid in most cases.
That's often the case, and they're not paid for their holidays either. So it is true that in one way they are more resilient than, say, their working poor equivalents in the United States. So they wouldn't typically have kind of car loans or credit card bills or mortgages. In fact, a lot of even the poorest Chinese, they save 20% of their salary, even 30, 40% of their salary. And so at the moment, they're living on their savings. And if they're back in the village, you know, they're eating, you know, food from their neighbors, eggs from the guy around the corner, vegetables from the plot of land that their grandmother owned. And so they can live quite cheaply, but not forever. And people are spending their savings. And that's really tragic because those savings, the reason they save so much is because there aren't the safety nets that we have in the rich world. So they've got really tough decisions to make about how long to stay in the village.
And other migrant workers have a different problem, which is the boss or the government says you got to get back to work. Your presence is required, but that might be in an area where the virus is prevalent.
That's right. So you can meet people. I met a couple who were actually at the railway station in this town, Mianyang in Sichuan, who had been told to come back to work because, ironically enough, their factory makes the insides of those face masks you see on the TV all the time that everyone has to wear. So they'd been ordered back. But other people, they're maybe working in restaurants or in barbershops or in those service jobs in the big cities like Beijing or Shanghai. So many of those small service industry shops and restaurants and things, they're just closed right now. So it's really not back to normal. And it's those waiters and cleaners and barbers who are suffering horribly.
Now, you're in Beijing now, which is not Hubei province, which is about 12 hours away by car, if I have my calculation correct. But you can see the absence of migrant workers even in Beijing?
Yeah, and Beijing is actually, strangely enough, although the state media keeps telling us that the overall number of infections in China is going down, the rules here in Beijing are getting stricter and stricter. And that's because this is the national capital. It's the seat of the party and the government. This city cannot be sort of reduced to chaos. And because it's a big city that has millions of migrant workers that make it hum, the party and the people who run the city, they're kind of paralyzed. They have a big dilemma. They're being given contradictory instructions. So if you're an official who runs, you know, the local neighborhood of, you know, my neighborhood, my Zhejiang, where I am, you've been told, save the economy, get back to work, make sure that we don't have a terrible year. But if there are any new infections in your district, you're finished, you're fired or worse.
And then if you go about your business in Beijing, you are noticing the absence of the migrant workers in certain cases?
Absolutely. It's now there is a bit more traffic. The metro is still empty. People are too frightened to go on the metro. You don't see kids because people are too scared to let their kids outdoors. The schools are still closed, but people aren't sending their kids to the park or the playground. And those migrant workers who would normally, you know, maybe working in restaurants or in barbershops or in those service jobs in the big cities like Beijing or Shanghai, so many of those small service industry shops and restaurants and things, they're just closed right now. If you do find a restaurant that is open, you're only allowed 2 customers per table. More than that is deemed a health risk. My own office building where the Economist Bureau is, they rang me first thing to say, are you coming back this week? Because if you do, you can only have 1/3 of your normal staff in the office, and we need to know where all of them have been for the last 2 or 3 weeks before we let them through the door. So it's very, very jumpy. And that plays against all of those instructions from the top of the machine to get the economy back to normal.
David Rennie is the Economist Magazine's Beijing Bureau Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you.